Well, I want to say good morning to you again. I'm glad that you were able to join us. I know there's a lot of people traveling and hunting and all kinds of things. So I'm glad we're here to worship. Amen? Amen. John chapter 6. We're going to need to go right to the scriptures because I want to celebrate communion today. John chapter 6. Now, let me say this while you're turning there. John 6, some of it, the part I'm going to refer to, on the surface looks like it could be communion scriptures, but it's not. And I want to differentiate that for us today. That's why I've chosen it on Communion Sunday. You say, Jim, why are you trying to confuse me? Well, I'm really not trying to. I'm trying to show us a little bit of what communion is and what it isn't. So, John chapter 6, let me give you just a real brief history so you know the setting. It's important that we know the setting. When I get into, I'm going to pick it up at verse 26, and you see in your bulletin there's a lot of verses listed. We're not going to look at all of them. We don't have time. We're going to hit on some of them. But before we get there, let me say this. In John 6, Jesus has fed the 5,000. We're all familiar with that story. He's fed the 5,000 people, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Amen? You know the story. That's the setting. And when you know that story, you know that he then went up onto the mountainside. The disciples got in a boat, and they went on the Sea of Galilee. They were going to cross to the other side. So as the story goes, there's a storm comes up. You know the story. The disciples are in the boat, panicking for their life. Jesus comes walking on the water. That's all in John 6. Miraculously, the storm is calm. They get to the other side. So Jesus is with the disciples on the other side. Come the next day, these people that got fed over here, the 5,000, they're curious enough to where he went to know where, to who he is and want some more from him. They come around the lake, and they are there basically to greet him on the other side. That's where we pick it up in John 26. So I mention all that because of where I'm going next. John 6, 26. Here's what Jesus said to those crowds that said, "How'd you get over here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." In other words, you come looking for me because I just filled your belly yesterday. You're not here because of the miracles I've done. That's what he told them. Then he said this, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which," he says, by the way, "which the Son of Man will give you." He's offering himself to them. Okay, he's just fed thousands of them with nothing, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they're there looking, as he said, not to recognize and to commit to following the Messiah, but they're looking there for the next meal. He says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Verse 30. "Therefore," they, that's the crowd, "said to him," that's Jesus, "what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you?" He just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And now they want another sign. Prove it. Too often we probably have the same mentality, looking for a meal rather than looking for the Messiah. And come to him and say, "Prove it, Lord. If you're who you say you are, then prove it." "What work will you do?" they ask him. "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Are you tracking, friends? God did supply manna to them in the wilderness for 40 years, sustained their life. Fast forward now, 1,450 years or so. And Jesus said, the true bread that you need has come down from heaven, not in manna, but in the form of the Messiah. For the bread of God is he, that's Jesus, who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then, you might expect their reply. They said to him in verse 34, "Lord, give us this bread always." Hello? Just like the woman at the well. "I don't want to come back here and draw again. I'll take that water that you're talking about." They're thinking physical terms. They're looking for the next meal. And he's offering himself as Messiah. "Lord, give us this bread always." They didn't want to have to bake tomorrow. Jesus said to them, and he says it to us, friends, and you have to determine whether you're going to subscribe to this or not, as do I. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." For all of us, I am the bread of life. You want to really live? Then partake of me, he said. I am the bread of life. And then he puts the table, he turns it to us and to them. "He who comes to me," he's talking by faith. "He who comes to me by faith shall never hunger, spiritually speaking, again." He offers himself as our complete satisfaction. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." That's a pretty good deal, friends. Verse 41, I got to press on. The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." Why would they do that? Well, the next statement says why. And they said, here's their logic. Who does he think he is anyway? Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, "I have come down from heaven"? See, that was their rationale. I'm pretty sure I know where he came from, and I'm pretty sure it ain't from heaven, because I'm pretty sure I know Joseph and Mary. That was their logic. Even when he said, "I am the bread of life," their logic was, "I don't believe it. I am he who comes down from heaven." And their rationale was, "I don't buy it. As a matter of fact, I know your parents, so you couldn't be from heaven." Verse 47. "Most assuredly," Jesus said, "I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." Why would he say that now? Because they didn't believe what he said. He said, I am the bread from heaven. I am he who comes down from heaven, and they wouldn't believe it. No, he can't be. I know who Joseph is, or was. Perhaps Joseph is gone by this time. I know who Mary is. He can't be the bread from heaven. So that's why Jesus comes back here with, most assuredly, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Because they wouldn't. They wouldn't believe in him as Messiah. They might believe in him as the next meal ticket. But they wouldn't believe in him as Messiah. That's why he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Because I just said I'm the bread of life, and if you'll subscribe to that, partake of that, embrace that, you will have everlasting life. I am the bread of life, he says again. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. Speaking of himself, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. That's pretty plain, is it not? You still with me? Falling asleep on me, tired this morning? That's pretty plain. That's who he said he was. And it's up to them, and it's up to you. Will you subscribe to that or not? You say, well, Jim, I believe in God. But do you believe that Jesus is the life? He is the bread of life. He is everything we need. That's what he's asking of us. Not the next meal ticket. Yes, he might answer our prayers if we're hungry or sick. But he is life. And that's what he's asking to subscribe to. And he knows they're not buying it. So he takes it a little further. He said, if anyone eats of this bread, he's talking about himself. He will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. His body is going to get hung on the tree. He's going to give of himself. And I think, this is my own personal opinion, but I think that statement and these next verses are in an attempt to sort out. When he starts talking about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, that's hard stuff to understand for us and for them. But I think what he's starting to do here, he's starting to sort through the crowd. Either you're going to subscribe to me, you're going to embrace me as the bread of life who has come down from heaven, or you're not. And I'm going to give you another statement to see if you're really going to subscribe to me as Messiah or meal ticket. So here's what he says. After the Jews quarreled among, oh, this is 52, after the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now stay with me, because that's a little confusing. It was very confusing for them, but I think he was trying to sort them out. Who is going to subscribe to me and who isn't? Then he said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. That connection. Now stay with me. He's not quite done. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he, that's us or them, anybody, he who feeds on me will live because of me, Jesus said. It's all about Jesus. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. I say hallelujah, but they weren't getting it. And sometimes I wonder if we do get it any different. Now here's how he wraps it up. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Because he knew it did. "What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" In other words, he's asking, "What are you going to think of that?" Listen to what he says now. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why? Because they couldn't subscribe to, they couldn't embrace the fact that this was the bread of heaven. Let me say a couple things and then we're going to get ready for communion. These verses, at this point in John chapter 6, Jesus is not, at this point, instituting the Lord's Supper. That's a separate conversation at a different time, different topic. Yes, he's talking about his body and blood, but he's talking to them in this way: "Will you embrace me for what I said and who I said I am? The bread of life." Communion's a separate subject. "Eating his flesh and drinking of his blood should not be thought as literal, as he said in verse 63, the words that I speak to you are spirit, they are life. The Old Testament forbid them from drinking blood, and he knows it, and they know it. But he's challenging them, will you embrace me by faith? Will you believe me for what I said and who I said I am?" That's what he's asking them. I could say some more about that, but I'm going to close with this, then we're going to get ready for communion. We take communion, friends, not to go be entered into the kingdom of God or to heaven. We take communion because, as Scripture says, and I'll get to it in a moment, we take communion to remember what Jesus has done. We don't take communion to say, "Okay, I've done this or I've done that, so I've gained my entrance into glory." No, that's not why we do it. We take communion to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the Messiah, for our sin. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body.' And so on that occasion, He was using that bread as a symbol for his brokenness, his broken body. And he said, when you take this bread, remember what I have done for you on that cross. Hallelujah. And then Paul writes, in the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant. I took a little time earlier, service, I don't have time this one, but I took a little time earlier to refer to Leviticus 16 when the Bible talks about the Day of Atonement. It took blood. That one day when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, it took blood to atone for the priest. It took blood to atone for the sins of the people. It took blood to come into the presence of God. And Jesus said, only through my blood can you come in to the presence of God. And Paul reminds us when Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Only because of the shed blood of Jesus can we approach a holy God. And when we take communion, he said, do this to remember what I have done for you. That's why we do communion. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Paul says a little bit more in 1 Corinthians 11. And he challenges the participants to examine ourselves. Are we coming to the table in a manner worthy? He used the word worthy. What does worthy mean? Have I trusted Christ? Do I subscribe to him as the bread of life? Do I believe he is my only way to the Father? Is he Lord? Is there sin in my life? That's what he means. Better examine ourselves before we come to the table. Jim and everybody else. Better examine ourselves in common a manner worthy. And so we're going to take just a minute, again, in quiet prayer, you and the Lord, to examine. Then I'll invite my helpers up here and we'll pass it out to you and partake together. Let's pray. Father, as we prepare for communion together, we're mindful of the words of Jesus that said, I am the bread of life that has come down from heaven. We are mindful, Heavenly Father, that it's only through Jesus we will ever be part of your kingdom. We're also mindful of the cross, the agony, the shame, the suffering, the blood. We're mindful of that, oh God. And having examined ourselves here today, we partake of these elements, the bread and the cup, in obedience to the words of Jesus that said, remember. And so we take of these elements together in obedience to remember. And yes, in surrender, in knowing that Jesus is Lord. And it is because and through his blood we can be cleansed from our sin. All of us can be cleansed because of the blood of Jesus. And so we recognize that today and say thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said to them, this is my body that is broken for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. The Bible also says that after supper, Jesus took the cup And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done for us. You've sent to us and everyone else, Jesus, the bread of life. If only we will partake of him by faith and trust in him and follow him. He said it over and over, we will have eternal life. Thank you for the blood that we just sung about that washes us clean from the sin that we all have had. Thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross. Help us to be mindful of this always and walking with Jesus always. Go with each and every one here today, Father, into this day and this week, trusting you, living for you, convinced I'm going to follow Jesus. For it's in his name we pray these things. Amen.